You're with Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks. All right. Welcome back to the program, or welcome myself back. Great to have you all with us. I'm very happy to be back. Been on a hiatus and a slight medical leave for a few days. We'll maybe talk about that, maybe not. Well, it depends how well behaved you are, how much information I'm going to give you there. Suffice to say, I'm off the crutches at the moment, and I'm walking, and I'm sort of getting active again. But thank you to Basil Valentine, the TNT political editor, for holding the fort down, as he has done so many times in the past, and so well indeed. I was enjoying watching Basil in my chair doing the hosting duties while I was away. He is a fantastic interviewer, and really enjoyed the guests he had on, and I hope you guys did as well. And just a testament to what a great team we have here at TNT. But nonetheless, we have a tremendous program for you today. We're going to try hard to hit the stories that matter in the next 2 hours. I'm very excited about the second hour in particular. I'm excited about the first hour, but especially the second hour, because we have none other than the ultimate intrepid journalist on the ground in New York City, Michael Tracy, independent journalist, is going to be joining us in the second hour. He has been on the ground at the campus upheaval, the protests, especially at Columbia University in New York. If you want to know what's actually going on, there's only one guy to talk to, and that's Michael Tracy. So I'm looking forward to getting him on to ask him a few questions, but also get his insights as well. I mean, the hypocrisy on this is just unprecedented, and we'll more likely this is bleeding into all sorts of areas like free speech. They're trying to ram an anti-Semitism bill through the U.S. federal legislature, which is an absolute disaster. Definitely the worst possible law you could ever want, especially in the United States, where we actually have protected speech. Just a little reminder to our congressmen and senators, we do have protected speech in the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights, but they're doing their best, at least the Israeli lobby as well, is doing their best to get in and tinker with their little, I don't know what to call it, mRNA legislative effort. They're trying to get in there and mess around with the DNA of the U.S. Constitution. So we'll talk about that with our first guests in the first hour. After the break, we'll connect with Joseph Arthur and also Hesher, a.k.a. Brian McLean, later in the first hour. But I want to talk about that. So that's one big story, and it's got different aspects to it. So it's going to take a little bit of teamwork to break that one open. But on the international front, of course, I want to just give this announcement. It's not a good announcement, but it needs to be said, especially in light of all the money that's been sent over to Ukraine. Kiev has lost over 111,000 troops this year, according to Sergei Shoigu, the defense minister in Moscow. So we're sending, I don't know, upwards of another $100 billion this year to Zelensky in a losing war. They've lost 111,000 troops just this past 12 months, and they're scheduled to lose another 100,000 if the fighting continues as it has been. And the U.S. said they want to keep this going as long as it takes. Lord Cameron has said as long as it takes. They're going to put in a permanent stipend of $3 billion a year for weapons for Zelensky. That's more or less what the U.S. have been sending Israel. That's more or less what the U.S. has been sending Israel continuously for many, many years. So just think about that, a standing order for Ukraine. Pretty incredible. I know, it's amazing. So I don't know how we're going to deal with this issue politically. Let's take a break, however, and connect our next guest on the other side. I'm Patrick Henningsen, your host. You're listening to TNT, today's news talk. We'll be right back.
TNT's Jason Olborn.
One must be optimistic when you see the Prime Minister of Australia telling us that a video showing that a bishop being stabbed is misinformation, and that the E-Safety Commissioner, who used to work for Twitter, now going after the new named X, and was a former, well, on the board of the World Economic Forum, say no more. That's the world that we live in at the moment, but everyone can see it. You can't be more exposed. The Emperor well, the eSafety Commissioner has no clothes, if you will. It's all coming to the fore, and we will continue to work on this with many, many different ways and processes as we give you the news of the day.
Weekends with Jason Olborn on today's News Talk, TNT.
In a democracy, the majority vote rules. But in most democracies, you can only vote for change every 3 or 4 years. To understand what people want, governments and political parties use focus groups. These focus groups can include as little as 20 people. Australia is a country of over 25 million people. Does making decisions based on 20 people sound fair to you? Have your say. Be heard in between elections. Download the For My Say app now. That is number 4, My Say.
TNTradio.live.
Online.
Streaming.
Be a part of the conversation.
I stream it all at work, and I stream it to my phone and listen to it wherever I go.
TNT.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back. We're still in the first hour of this live broadcast. Thank you for rejoining us. And before the break, I told you we're going to be connecting with a few special people in the first hour. One of those persons who I have not had an opportunity to catch up with and do the Vulcan mind melt with is hopefully on the line right now, Joseph Arthur, who happens to be, among other things, not just a talented artist, musician, recording artist, but also the host of the amazing Technicolor Dreamcast here on TNT, today's News Talk. We're very privileged to have Mr. Arthur on the line right now. Joseph, how are you doing?
Hello, Mr. Henningsen. Patrick, thank you for having me on. It's always an honor. Thanks, man. I'm playing some songs. Some revolutionary songs. I thought an homage to John Lennon was appropriate. And I miss you. I haven't seen you in a while, and I miss our hikes. I miss our bromance. So I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, man, I'm doing okay. I got to get in shape for the hikes. I'm just coming off a double knee injury. So I got to get sort of fit again. In order to tackle Mother Nature in the way that
Camelback,
that way that we do.
I don't know if it's age or what, but I have this like weird shoulder thing starting to happen. And I was at this my cold plunge place today, and they put these electric pads on the shoulder, and it's like for 20 minutes deep. It's called PMF therapy, and it feels like a hammer is hitting your bone on the inside. Through like being electric shocked, so I might be.
Yeah, they outlawed that. They outlawed that last century. Yeah, electroshock therapy, Joseph. That
I
was.
I just had it this morning.
I thought that was consigned like to this. The dustbin of history. Yeah, you're going Don King. Remember Don King, the boxing promoter? Only in America, yeah. Joseph. Only in America. So, Joseph, I mean, first of all, let's just get a few things out of the way. I know you really want to play a song, and I really want to hear
a couple songs. I really want to hear it.
And also, I want you to tell everybody where they can see you, because you're doing quite a lot of live gigs around the world. I'm going to give you a moment to give a shout out to those as well before we exit this segment. But the other thing is, like in the last couple of weeks, I mean, you must have an opinion on this campus upheaval, these student protests. Everybody's going hysterical. The right has gone woke on this. They want a safe space on campus now from all these evil terrorist protesters, we're being told, if you listen to Fox News. What do you make of all this? Where do you stand on this one?
Well, I talked to Ruckus, our good friend Adam Ruckus Clark, yesterday about it, and he sort of filled me in a little bit on it. I mean, it started out, I guess, in Columbia University. It started out as basically an organic anti-war protest, stop funding anybody that supports Israel. That's reasonable enough. And then it got swallowed by George Soros and crew, and it's turning into the new BLM and making any of us that have anti-war sentiments seem like we're out of our minds, I guess, right? That's the design of it, seems like.
Yeah, I mean, I've done a little bit of research on it, and actually George Soros isn't that involved in this one. He's in recent years he's shifted back over to the Israeli side, although he used to fund sort of left-wing activism for Palestine, but I think he's moved to overthrow more governments in Eastern Europe at the moment. But yeah, I think listen, there's no such thing as an organic protest in the 21st century because of the internet. Everything is organized, and right. it organizes itself very, very quickly, including like GoFundMe pages and donations and sponsors coming in and whatnot. But I don't think there's a very high degree of astroturfing on this. I think this is actually one of the most legitimate and real anti-war, broad-based anti-war movements. More than I probably have seen since the Iraq War, and before that, since Vietnam. And I'll tell you what, we were so skeptical, aren't we, about the youth? And we're concerned, right, about the next generation. And the Gen Zers going all woke, the BLM thing was insane, George Floyd, summer of masking, COVID, it was just nuts. But I have to say, I am pleased in a certain way to see these young people grab this issue. If for no other reason that it's just the moral clarity of the situation, they're going to be in charge of the country in 20 years, these guys, these kids. So they've come out in support of what's clearly one of the worst crimes against humanity. And look at the gap between the youth and the older people. The older people are sending in the cops to shut them down. But that happened in Vietnam, Joseph. This is like 1968 in a certain way, not right. without the psychedelics, of course, but and the good music. I don't know. There is some good music.
Well, we have the music. I brought the music. You know.
But what do you think? What do you think about the Gen Zers?
I don't know. I mean, because I'm hearing mixed messages. Then because I'm hearing it's like it's turned ridiculous, and they're shipping protesters in from far away, and it's getting insane, and it's meant to sort of dismantle the anti-war movement. But who knows, man? We gotta
have a confab on this, Joseph. You're getting bad information from.
I'm getting.
Don't talk to Ruckus too much on this. He's too cynical. He's black-pilled on this one. I can just
He's
say.
So black-pilled all the time, so I'm getting the black-pill information. So this is encouraging, though, that you're sort of encouraged by this protest movement that's occurring right now. So, yeah. And with that, we definitely need music. Music is a huge part of anti-war protests, so... That's
you've done a couple of amazing. I've been playing your Father's Cry track on Sunday Wire. I'll play it again on the live broadcast this Sunday during the intermission. It's just an amazing song. That Ceasefire Now, which you also recorded right on the onset of the crisis. So
right.
you've made a great contribution yourself, Joseph, to this cause, if you will, to raise awareness, to use your art, to use your talent, to bring a message out to people and make them sort of stop, feel, think, and hopefully, you know, take some positive action to improve the state of the world.
Well, that's the job of music, to sort of bypass the mind, you know, all this divide and conquer, all this division. People getting angry, taking sides, drawing lines in the sand, and taking everything real personal. Music has the power to sort of subvert the mind and go to the heart. Even if you don't agree with the message, it's not coming at you in this way that leads to division. You know, it's sort of a unifying balm no matter what. So I think it's really important for music to take part in this anti-war movement.
Yeah, I know you should be out there on the front lines playing, but then you will get castigated by those absolute vipers at Fox News. They hate these students, but you should be out there on the front lines bringing that good energy, Joseph.
Well, let me ask you this. Why do you think both sides forget all their principles? You know, they go with the identity of an argument and they just completely throw their principles on a dumpster fire. Like, you would have thought that the right would be protecting free speech and castigating anybody that suggests safe spaces and whatnot. Instead, it flips as soon as they disagree with the sort of message of the day.
Let me tell you this, the right took it even further. It's not just enough to have a safe space of the whole campus. They want the safe space to be between our ears. They're trying to pass legislation to control how we think and our speech, and that we're not violating the ongoing elastic definition of, quote, anti-Semitism. So that's like the ultimate, that's the George Orwell's safe space, isn't it? The gray yeah. matter. So I can't believe
it. And how
do
you feel? How do you feel about being on the different side now? You're on the side of the woke people now. How does that make you feel?
I'll tell you what side I'm on. I'm on the side of freedom of speech and assembly, but bar wow. none. And I support the January 6th protesters, their right to political dissent, to gather. Although I don't think it was wise to have 50,000 people right next to the Capitol, but that was Nancy Pelosi's and the FBI's plan. Different story. We can have a segment on that later. But I support the First Amendment, whether it's left, right, students.
Me too, man.
Whether it's farmers coming out with their tractors or pushing back against globalist policies, whatever. 100% First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, gather, talk. It's all protected speech. There's no safe spaces in that regard. Only you're in your private home. That's it. In private spaces are private, but you know, campuses, parks, you know, there's public accommodations in New York. They have laws to protect. The state has laws to protect free speech. So we have to respect that because, you know, if we're giving our next generation less rights, then we've failed, I think, in America as a generation. That is like, no matter what happens, our constitutional rights, our Bill of Rights, that is the one thing. That's the core of everything in the country, every institution, every political party, every administration, every epoch. It's undergirded by the Constitution. That's I don't care what party. I will stand with somebody who is crazy woke, pink-haired anarchist to yeah. protect their First Amendment.
Absolutely. Why do you think the right has forgotten that, especially on the heels of COVID and all that happened there?
I'll tell you.
How could they forget that so easily?
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, because the right are not the right. The right are the left in drag. Okay. That's the truth of the matter, because these are people who have all become ninnies. They use the same Saul Alinsky tactics that the left-wing and radical progressive movements traditionally used, Rules for Radicals handbook. The right use it because Saul Alinsky, the neocons, radical left, they're all from the same school of political activism. They've just split up and divided and conquered in the different political parties and milieus in the political paradigm. It's all the same. These are radical Trotskyites who by any means necessary, they'll use the underhanded tactics of their adversaries themselves if it's convenient for their own ends, period. These are not conservatives on the right. Conservatives on the right, if you're conservative, you're going to sit back and be conservative. You can be like, go ahead and have your protest on the campus. I'll come back and check in on you next week. That's what a conservative does. But that's not what we have. So these are not conservatives on the right in America anymore. They're LARPing as conservatives. They're hysterical liberals. That's my scientific analysis on that.
And I still think at the core, it's just a humanitarian issue. I mean, if the reverse was happening, if Palestine was dropping endless bombs on Israel, I would be saying ceasefire now as well. It has nothing to do with Palestinians versus Israelis. It has nothing to do with that. It's human beings and protecting children. That's all. That's my 100%. Take on it anyway. It seems weird that more people don't just have that sort of common sense statement about it, you know, because it becomes this divide and conquer thing. And I guess that's the black pill that Ruckus is taking and sort of informing me on, is that the protests are great, you know, but it's more divide and conquer, and the sort of flag waving and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I just wish we could get on a more give peace a chance, but I guess I'm a musician and a hippie in a way at heart. So,
yeah. Well, that's what you should do. But hey, if these students want to go,
the shades on.
and raise exact. That's you channeling John Lennon for goodness sake. So yeah, I mean, listen, they recognize that there's absolute injustice have gone on. They're deeply affected by it, I believe, and they want to see it come to an end. They see the moral deficit in the U.S. government level, and I find that to be very compelling.
And so, though, there has to be some black pill with it, though. There must be some people utilizing this as a more divide and conquer schemes. You know, it can start from a good place, and there can be plenty of people in the protest that are coming from their heart and coming from a righteous place of just really wanting peace. But then, you know, nefarious players are going to utilize this. Right. And so more division,
maybe,
and more chaos.
Maybe, but who, you know, my attitude is who cares? Let the nefarious or whatever astroturf political activists come in as they always have and always will. So what matters is what's the message? That's what matters. And what matters is the kids got off their behinds, got off their phones, and got off their behinds. And to me, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. So that's my red pill. If we take the ruckus black pill, my red pill, we have a purple pill.
A maroon pill.
So let's take a handful of those. Just kidding.
Yeah, no doubt. They sound
just
fun.
Metaphorically. Joseph, take it away. What are you going to share?
I'm going to do ceasefire now. I got a little reverb for you.
Ceasefire now. Cease fire now, cease fire. equality, there will always be war. We have all the history to see how it's happened before. Travel as equals, equality for all, or else mankind will surely fall. Cease fire now, cease fire, cease fire now, cease fire now in Gaza somehow. Might be the last time to raise a hand about who we are. What's this say about who we are? This might be the last time.
Right on, right on. That thing has just evolved and gone to higher and higher levels. Amazing.
We did pretty good with that one, Patrick. I mean, you kind of co-wrote that with me in the Kava bar over there, not to call us out back in those days.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a story there. Up with the riff and then
Dresden in a kill box, you gave me that line. Probably yeah, people can't escape.
It's not a pleasant. It's not pleasant to imagine the visuals there, but that's a beautiful song, and you brought it to another level with the extra vocals that you put. Amazing, absolutely amazing.
It's funny how a song like The Unconscious deals with art. It's really an interesting process because you put art down for a long time and then you pick it back up and then sort of. The life experience that you've had, and also probably the collective unconscious life experience of that whole situation, you can feel like a wind behind a sail of singing the song, you know? And it sort of reestablishes itself. It's funny that songs are like entities.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great acoustic. Tailor-made is a great acoustic song as well. I know that's your specialty. One of your specialties.
This is not a Taylor, though. This is a Gibson. That's a guitar nerd. That's a guitar nerd joke. Taylor.
That's famous Gibson, isn't it?
It's pretty famous. Yeah, yeah. It's a Dove.
That was featured in your last video, isn't it?
It's been with me a long time, man. I painted this with an artist friend named Angebert in the Bevanshire Motel out there in L.A. We used to always stay at this little seedy motel called the Bevanshire. We would sometimes stay there for like a month. One time, back in my rock and roll star days, there was like a family that needed help, and I remember paying for their room for like a week at the stuff like that. Crazy times, Patrick Henningsen. Let's hope more of those crazy times occur again, except more sober-minded this time. I'm going on the road. You can find my dates, josepharthur.com. They're all there now. Tour dates, some European ones. And as always, I'm TNT Radio every Saturday starting at 11 a.m. Eastern. Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. That's my shilling for you.
Mandatory Saturday listening. Joseph's variety show is epic. Yeah. And that's a great thing to have on the weekend. Plus the playback afterwards. You're going to be going to France, Joseph. You're going to be going to the UK. You're going to be hitting states in Arizona, other states in the union. It's exciting. Yeah.
Our friend Peter Conway is going to play with me in London, by the way.
I definitely want to be there for that.
Got to come.
You two together are an absolute powerhouse.
A pint of Guinness afterwards.
On Kilburn High Road. Yeah, that's epic. That is absolutely epic. Joseph, Arthur, thank you for stopping by. As always, we
love you,
appreciate
brother.
It. We appreciate it. We'll catch up to you very soon. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. That is the Joseph Arthur. Catch him again tomorrow here on TNT with the Technicolor Dreamcast. Let's take a break, however, and try to connect our other friend in the wings, in the green room right now, Hesher, Brian McClain, host of State of the Union, which airs right after our program here live. He's going to join us on the other side to get his take on what's going on in America. All this and more. Stay right there. We'll
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
What do I love about riding? It's the thrill, the excitement. Riding gives me a sense of freedom. I feel so connected to the road. Riding is like therapy to me. It makes me feel alive. Love riding? Back off.
Patrick Henningsen and TNT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. All right, welcome back to the program. It's always great to have a visit with none other than Joseph Arthur and to do a live rendition of what is quite an epic song, which he wrote. And I was kind of present for the creation of that one, and that's a great honor in itself. But great to see how Joseph has taken it and developed it, and it's just brought it to another level. So amazing, and a little bit of special treat for our listeners there. And great to have somebody like Joseph who will come on and play live. Not all artists will do that. He's very confident that he can deliver, and he's a great live performance artist. If you ever had a chance to see Joseph live, it's an experience. If you ever do have an opportunity to see him, it's worth it to go, especially if it's a great venue. I mean, I'd even say it's worth it even to jump on a plane and see a gig if he's just a few, you know, states away and it's too far to drive. I would even say it's worth it to take a short flight and see Joseph live if he comes to New York, or if he's in Utah, or some of these gigs he's got, I think possibly Los Angeles. He's got a bunch of dates that he's scheduling in, and in Europe as well. So amazing. Now we're going to be joined in a few minutes by Hesher, aka Brian McClain, host of State of the Nation with Timothy O'Shea here on TNT. And they usually air just after us on the schedule. So he's sort of following up after the Patrick Henningsen show. So Brian's going to join us because obviously he's got his finger on the pulse with what's going on. And this is, the situation is really developing quickly with this. They really went for it. I think they've kind of gone for broke. I want to talk to him about this, but trying to pass a hate speech bill among all this. I mean, these guys have really outdone themselves in the government, and led by the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. The Omen, he's like the character from The Omen. There's something about him that is incredibly creepy and just a little bit too smooth. I don't know. That's just me. Call me skeptical, but there's a motion to vacate sitting on his desk practically. We'll see what happens with that. But latest on this, they've got sort of 40 campuses around the country. There's simultaneous protests going on. There was an order given out to UCLA and Columbia, some of the high-profile campuses. Where did that pressure come from? Did it come from the White House, Or did it come from the ADL? Did it come from the Israeli lobby? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. And we've seen how this brigade system works with shutting down live events, anti-war protests, shutting down speech online. And I've had sort of direct experience with this myself. We've had the government in one case invoked the terrorist directive in the UK in order to shut down a live event critiquing the mainstream media. It was called Media on Trial, and the city was in Leeds. It was a couple of years ago, and they invoked the prevent strategy and then pressured the city venues to basically disallow this event to happen. It was myself, Piers Robinson, Tim Hayward. These are top academics from Edinburgh University, Sheffield University, Peter Ford, former ambassador to Syria, former British ambassador to Syria, seasoned foreign office diplomat, Vanessa Bealey, journalist, Robert Stewart, I believe, also an independent researcher. And yeah, we were going to present our Media on Trial symposium. And that was too much. That was too much. And so you can see how the media will collude with government. And then there'll also be these sort of NGOs, like, for instance, the ADL. There's also a bunch of these other anti-hate bogus NGOs that the state use or the intelligence services use in order to help stifle free speech. And there's a whole bunch of them now. There's a whole gaggle of these organizations. And they're designed to gatekeep, basically. And how it works is the press will call the, let's say, the administrators at Columbia and saying, hey, I'm from the Washington Post. You know, we want are you going to shut these, are they going to shut these protests down? Are you doing anything? We have reports of anti-Semitism, violence against students, blah, blah, blah. And then they start to panic. And then the other officials will move in. There might be a call from someone in government. Then you'll get more bad press. And then people panic. And then the university finally relents and tells the police to come in and just steamroll the whole thing. They didn't have to do that. The administrative bodies there didn't have to do that, but they did. And that's kind of how it goes. So I've seen this process myself firsthand over the years. It's very efficient. And whether it's a J6 protest or whether it's an anti-war protest, the state and the establishment don't really care. They just want to shut down anything that's got that big capital P in it. It's called populism. Populism is uncontrollable. This is the bull, the beast that cannot be controlled, whether it's on the right or the left, and the thing that politicians and bureaucrats fear the most. So anyway, without further ado, I want to bring onto the stage, I think we've got him in the house, Brian McLean, known by some as Hesher, host of the State of the Nation. What is the State of the Nation right now, Brian? Because there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. And these guys in Washington, I'm beginning to think that we have a problem. These people are not playing with a full deck. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we got a big problem. The state of the nation is in increasing dumpster fire. You know, there are obviously new movements sort of waking up to the way geopolitics work, but I'm afraid they may be a little late to the party to gather the, you know, intelligence, data, historical facts, and unravel the mysteries, the esoteric mysteries of the deep state and globalist designs. You know, we're going to have Jay Dyer on State of the Nation today. We're going to talk about some of this stuff, how it all leads to transhumanism. But where we're seeing the rubber meeting the road right now is where it happens geopolitically and in the zeitgeist of the nation. So, you know, you had Larry Johnson on the show a couple times. We had the pleasure of speaking with him this week, and he makes the point that, you know, a lot of the you know, geopolitical thinking of many, many, many college people right now in the United States is going to be forever changed because of this, regardless of how much hoopla and, you know, provocateurs. Like, there's all this stuff going on. All this stuff is happening. Everything that we've talked about for years is all happening at a breakneck speed. It's combining with, you know, what Obama said about his shock troops and how that was all going to work. Like, this is all stuck into a set of real life identity politic and technocratic cybernetic feedback loops right now. These things are all like self-forming, and the social media is being controlled in certain ways, certain things being allowed on some platforms off the rails, all the mainstream platforms functioning on very specific algorithms. We know for a fact that if Instagram, for example, didn't want to be showing all these protests, they could algorithm that out the same way they did to us during COVID, but they're not for some reason. So it's all very interesting right now. And I feel like there's, you know, things are changing very rapidly with regard to public opinion of, you know, the state of the world. And it almost feels to me, Patrick, like those in charge are either, like you said, just completely out of control and it's all falling apart on them, or this is something that they're going to use to their advantage and maybe even have a hand in fomenting, because it seems like they really want us to lose, all of us to lose all faith in all institutions. And that's a little bit scary, because why would they want that?
Well, to me, the dead giveaway was, that extra egg in the pudding, over-egging the pudding, is trying to ram through a law on, yeah, quote, hate speech, to try to compel political speech from mainly being championed by the Republican arm of the two-party duopoly, but with full compliance from the Democrats pretty much across the board. But some dissenters on the Republican side, who I am glad they're there, let's face it, the 10 or 12 of them that are there, fantastic. But that's the kind of cabal going for broke, because they just can't bear to see these students break from the narrative, especially on the Israel issue, because they've spent so much money. They thought they had it all locked down. They thought the $100 million or whatever that IPAC spread around to Congress and Senate, that was enough. They bought the media, and they think, and who are these students? Who do they think they are? We're going to label them as terrorists. We're going to destroy them. We're going to make sure they don't get jobs. We're going to get them kicked out of school. Okay. That's what's going on. And I think it's quite incredible. And you know what? And this is the thing. The kids, the study that I'm pointing to at 21st Century Wire was a new poll that was done by, and this kind of explains it, Hesher, and you mentioned a little bit of this before, but this latest study, which was put out by JL Partners, shows a stark difference in attitudes towards Israel depending on whether you watch cable news or you get your information from social media. And so most of these kids don't watch cable news at all. So yep. Isn't that amazing how powerful the media is? This study, cable news viewers have a much more hawkish view on Israel's war on Gaza. It's clear as day. It's clear as day. We all knew this, but now at least you can see the proof of it. It's beyond a doubt now. This is the important component of the system. It is propaganda. Mm-hmm. And as much as I threw in the towel with Gen Zers on everything else, you have to remember these kids were only 14 and 15 during the George Floyd riots, some of them. So, or, you know, whenever it was, 4 years ago. So they now come of age. They might even be a bit smarter than their predecessors. They might be a little bit more, just a little more street smarter. And that's all they need to be now, because just kind of see through this. So I have a lot of hope for that at least on this issue, that they can see through all of the madness and just see the moral question at play. And I'm happy about that. The rest of it, the pink hair, the crazy masks. The masks, okay, whatever. Hopefully they're going to grow out of this stuff. Mm-hmm. But on this issue, they've risen to the historical moment. And that to me is something to be positive about in the future. That's my position at the moment. I am definitely not black pilling.
Yeah. No, and they've, you know, they've appear to be have, you know, learning lesson number one, you know, and for me, lesson number one is that the media lies, the government lies, and that the identity politics are a sham. You know, everything is fake to an extent that they thought was real when it came to, you know, so many things. So now this is a whole generation of people that won't be ever watching CNN or MSNBC unless it's being clowned or trolled. They're looking at Telegram. You know what I mean? They're looking
Hold on. Are you saying they're going to be laughing at Anderson Cooper as he comes into his prime? Are you kidding me, Hesher? I mean, that is just, how are they going to find their moral sort of guidance without Anderson Cooper and Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough? I mean, these are the titans of mainstream media. What are you talking about, Hesher?
Not anymore. This is the last generation of titans of media and Hollywood stars. This is it. There's going to be no more Elvises. There's going to be no more Luke Skywalkers. I'm going to be talking about Luke Skywalker later today. That's going to be fun. So stay tuned for that on State of the Nation.
Ooh, yeah, that guy. I saw what he did. Ooh, Mark Hamill. Terrible.
And you know he's getting paid millions of dollars for that. That's the thing. These washed up people who are doing nothing but playing political theater as the empire is falling apart and the zeitgeist is, you know, at fevered pitch polarization, you know, as the collective dissonance discharges itself.
Is that the same Mark Hamill that was raising money to send drones to the Ukrainians? Is that the same Luke Skywalker? Did he get kicked out of the Jedi Order, or what happened? Like this, that's a story right there. What happened to his Jedi status?
He burned the temple down. You know,
He did.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think about that, Hesher. That actually happened in the last film, didn't it?
All the remaining writings of, you know, the Jedi were in that temple. They burned it down. They killed their fathers. You know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, that is our modern mythology, and that's what we're looking at. You know, the robots are gay now. It's like everything got turned around from where it was when it was originally made.
Oh, he could be Zelensky's next defense minister. Who knows? Stranger things have happened. Actors have become president, so you know we can't write anything off. But just back to the main subject. So right now, are these really conservatives, Hesher? Are these just liberals LARPing as conservatives?
Oh man, yeah, we've got that. We've got the whole thing, and it's like, okay, so. You know, we were called terrible conspiracy theorists 10 years ago in the media if we were talking about globalism and technocracy and authoritarianism, apartheid, all those things, right? That's not real. Chemtrails, whatever, you know, the moon. It didn't matter. Almost any
vaccines,
all that. It was like you were called crazy. And here we are. And now here we are. And, you know, people in the mainstream for the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, all of a sudden they talk about all those things and they've made million-dollar cottage industries out of it. And while people like us have been shadow banned and targeted and had, you know, speaking events shut down by governments. So, you know, to me, it's like, okay, the window's shifted here and the conversation is now giant, but the people that looked like they were standing with us for the last 4 years, it's like, oh, you're awake to COVID, you're awake to, you know, J6, you're awake to, you know, election interference, you're awake to the globalistic WEF plan. Cool. Yep. You're awake to all that. Right on, guys. And some of them even showed up 2 years late to being awake to the grift of the war on Ukraine and the horror of the war in Ukraine and the ethnic cleansing that we're doing there, basically, kind of in a reverse fashion. All good. Everybody's cool. And same with the shots. They caught up with us on the shots and all of a sudden started talking about it in late 2022. Well, and we're all awake. Great. We're all hand in hand. And then this happens and it's like, oh, but You know, those people can't have free speech because they're criticizing Israel. I'm sorry, you guys all of a sudden showed up late to the party and you were helping us say bring back the truth about this country, which is that we have a freedom of speech here and we're all champions of freedom of speech and liberty, and that's growing, and speech sometimes hurts our feelings and speech sometimes doesn't agree with us and makes us angry, but we all have to have it. But not now, not now. So you see where your Republican Party lies. You see where your mainstream conservatives lie on this. And I bet some of them are going to be late to the party on this one too, but some are going to come around and many are not. This is going to be a wedge issue that doesn't go away.
Yeah, you know, they made fun of the left-wing students about wanting safe spaces on campus. So, you know, to have like a room where African-American students feel safe and not infringed by, you know, white patriarchy, or women can feel safe and without the male, toxic male patriarchy, masculinity, whatever. And that was all, everyone on the right was waving their fingers, or what they call the right. It really doesn't mean anything to me. Like, that you can throw Joe Rogan in there as well, and all these sort of Johnny come lately, influencers. And they just had a field day with this, Bill Maher, all of them, okay? But now the so-called right, the so-called conservatives, they're not calling for a room as a safe space on campus. They want the whole campus to be a safe space. They want the whole city of New York to be a safe space where they feel safe, where they're not offended, where they're not no anxiety or the feeling that they're going to be attacked by an unarmed student who they claim is a bloodthirsty terrorist. Not only that, they want the space between our ears, Hesher, our mind, to be a safe space. They want to compel political speech with this new piece of crazy, quote, hate speech legislation being pushed mainly and championed by the right in this case. So they want their Orwellian safe space. They want that one. That, right. Yeah, exactly. Chapter and verse, straight out of 1984. So what in earth is conservative about that? I ask you, and I'll put that to Mark Levine as well, the great constitutional scholar on Fox, who claims he's a constitutionalist, but looks very sort of keen to come and shut down people's freedom of speech and assembly on campuses, just like every other cowboy on the mainstream media. Hesher, what the hell is going on? You got the floor for the final 2 minutes.
It's like they stood by and they let the pendulum, the pit in the pendulum, the bladed pendulum that floats above us and moves right to left as a society here in America, they let it go all the way to the left, further to the left than we've ever seen it, hold it up there, sharpen it, drop the wire, bring it back down, watch it cut us, divide us in two as a nation, allow them to do a fake pandemic on us, allow them to steal elections from us, allow them to let psychopaths get encourage little kids to mutilate their bodies and have, you know, ruin their sexual identity for the rest of their lives. Everything, they've destroyed everything, and it's like the right just waited, oh, we hate this, we can't talk about it while it's starting, but after it's a problem we'll talk about it and we'll make a bunch of money talking about it, and then wait when that pendulum goes up to the other side, there's the right waiting to sharpen it again and bring it back one more time. And this time it's a holy war. Yeah. And they are participating with the left in destroying our Constitution and our Republic. They're doing it together. They're doing it in lockstep. They're doing it at the behest of all of the crazy creatures that many of these pundits claim to not like. And it all goes in the same direction. The end of America, the end of freedom, the end of all your constitutional rights, and it ain't going to be pretty.
Yeah, who said it? Was it John Adams or Thomas Jefferson? An eagle needs two wings to fly, a right and a left wing. We have checks and balances. That's a great metaphor, the pit and the pendulum, a little a nod to Edgar Allan Poe, as well, a great American literary figure and icon. But yeah, that's a great analogy, Hesher. We got a lot to think about here. Let's hope the emergence of the self-correcting, rational, reasonable center, that famous thing that America always produces, emerges right in the middle to bring order to this chaos right now. We'll see. But Hesher, State of the Nation, you guys are up on deck in an hour here. That's live, right? On TNT, Monday to Friday. Brian McClain, Hesher, and Timothy O'Shea, State of the Nation. Brian, thank you for joining us here on the Patrick Henningsen Show.
All right. Thanks for having me.
There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. And we are going to go to the top of the hour news headlines right now. I'm Patrick Henningsen, your host. On the other side, none other than Michael Tracy. Boy, am I looking forward to this conversation. All this and more coming up. Stay with us here on the Patrick Henningsen Show.